Second Samuel. Thank you, musicians. Second Samuel chapter 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 15. Just one short verse. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, what an awesome thing it is to have you here today. Don't you people know what the forecast is? Praise the Lord. I'm glad you came today. You didn't get scared away by the threat of a snowflake. Or very many snowflakes. Could be, I hear, possibly very many. Praise the Lord. I don't know, I enjoy living for God. I want to come to church. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you do too.
Give the Lord a Lord, I love you. Jesus, I praise you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen. Praise God. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse number 15. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." He had a longing. My topic today is, make it to the house of God. Amen. It's a fitting title for a day such as today. I'm glad you made it to church. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. We ask even now in the precious name of Jesus. Lord, we've made it here to the house of God. Lord, I pray that your spirit, Lord, would touch our spirit, that your life would touch our life. Lord, that your word would speak unto us. Lord, quicken my mind, my words, and open our hearing. Lord, that your will would be done here today. And Lord, I thank you for it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. David and his men had been holed up between Bethlehem and the Philistines. He was in a very troubled place, and he was remembering fondly of how good and how fresh and how nice it was to drink of the water of the well at Bethlehem. The mighty men of valor that were with him asked him if there is anything that David wants of them. They were willing to do whatever the man would say. They were willing to endanger their own lives to fulfill his word. I don't know that it was I don't think it was a command. It was not. But you know how sometimes we just voice what is on our mind. We speak before we fully think out what we're saying. Well, David was thinking and remembering fondly of that good water from the well at Bethlehem. And he said, "Oh, that one would give me to drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem." Let me bring it in another light here. Bethlehem, the very word means the house of bread. Bethlehem, representative of, in this case, the house of bread. Bethlehem. The house of bread is a type of the church, where the word of God is preached, where we feel the presence and we gather and worship the Lord. I want to be in church. I want to feel the presence of God. I long for the leading of the Lord. I want God in my life. Amen. David longed for the well at Bethlehem, the house of bread. You see, in the house of God, there is preaching of the word. I believe that preaching of the word does much more than our carnal mind can even understand. I think the preaching of the word gives us understanding that is beyond what you could learn in a college or a school or a learning session outside of the household of God. I believe there is a power of God that enters into the house of God when the preaching of God is going forth, and it opens up the mind and the spirit of a man to receive what God would have for him or them. It's a type of the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. To the world, preaching may seem like foolishness. They don't see a whole lot of use for it. Preach this and preach that, and everybody down the street and all around the city, there's preaching. At least I hope there's preaching going on today. But I tell you, the anointed preaching of the word of God is powerful.
Yes, it is. Amen.
Man, it'll save our souls. If you'll believe the preaching of the word of God, it will change your life. Amen. God chose preaching for a specific and very fundamental and very important purpose. Preaching is desperation's defeat. You know, you can be desperate and then hear the preaching and have hope. Amen. Preaching is anxiety's adversary. Sorry, I have trouble with that big word. The adversary. In our world today, and I work with people, I live around people, I know people that have a problem with anxiety. I'm telling you, if you will hear the preaching of the Word of God and let God's preached Word, the Word of God, touch our lives, it will help you overcome that very real problem. Preaching is frustration's funeral. It's the end. I don't have to be frustrated because I know I'm living for God. I know the path that I'm on. I know that God is going to see me through. Amen. Preaching is faith's food. It feeds my faith when I hear the preaching of the Word of God. On the other side of that very same coin, if you don't hear the preaching, your faith is being starved of faith's food. I need to feed my faith and hear the preaching. Preaching is doubt's demise. I can just quit doubting when I believe the Word of God, when I believe the preaching of the Word of God. Preaching is fear's failure. Preaching is disappointment's decline. Preaching is sin's greatest foe. Preaching is the sinner's best friend. They don't even know it yet, but they need to hear the preaching. Preaching is the saint's delight. I hope you like to hear preaching. Amen. I want to hear the preaching. Amen. I'm looking forward to winter fire this week. Amen. I'm going with anticipation. I'm going with expectation. that God is going to feed me something in the preaching to feed my soul, to lift me up, to help me live for God. I want to hear the preaching. Singing's good. Singers are great. Worship is good. I'm going to be there. You'll see. If you see me at Winter Fire, most likely I will be worshiping. I intend to go there and worship God. But when the singing is done and the worship is done and the commercials are done, I want to hear the preaching. When you are in trouble, just make your way to the house of bread. You got to put it as a priority. Early in my Christian walk, early in my living for God, I knew that I had to put a priority on getting myself into the house of the Lord. I want to hear the preaching. David said, "Oh, that I had a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem." Today, we face insurmountable pressures in life. Every one of us has pressures in this life. It comes to us from all different directions, from above and beyond and below and beside and from every different direction. The pressures of our life, of our world, press in upon us. Families have pressure. Individuals have pressure. We live with sometimes very difficult situations in our life. Some are living with atrocities, even evils that come upon humans daily. We live in a terrible place. This world can be very cruel. Our world can be very cold. Our world is a place that is dangerous. David declared, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Psalms 121, verse 1. "I was glad when they said unto me." You know, they get these forecasts. They've been forecasting possible snow. I was telling my coworkers, quit snowing on Sundays. Well, at least the snow is coming after church. So praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have you ever thought that it could just, if I could just make it to the house of God? Man, I got to make it to church. I got to make it to the household of God. There was a longing that David had for the house of bread. I got to have a longing. I got to want to be. Nobody's going to force you to come to church. If you don't want to come to church, guess what? Almost certainly, you're going to end up not coming. We got to cultivate a love for the truth, a love to hear the word, a love for the presence of the glory of God in the house of the Lord. We got to want it. We got to love it. I want. Nobody's making me come to church. Nobody is making you come to church. Well, if you're a child, you might have to go with your parents. When I was a child, I was brought to church. It wasn't, you know, "Do you want to go to church today, Tommy?" No, it was, "Get out of bed. You need to hurry up. We're going to church." In fact, I encourage parents, bring your children to church. Don't give them an option. It's not their choice. It's the parents' choice to bring them to the house of God. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Don't take it for granted what happens when you make it to the house of the Lord. It's not routine. It's not to be taken for granted or lightly. There are very important things that are happening in the household of God. When we open the service and we stand and you're encouraged to lift your hands and lift your voice, and there's music that has been prepared ahead of time. There's practices that have went on in order to enable the musicians to praise the Lord in that worship song. Amen. There's been preparations that have made before you ever came in the door. Preparations and prayer and seeking of the Lord for that very service. And when we join into that preparation, when we join in with that singing, when you lift your voice in the house of God, something supernatural is taking place when that happens. When you choose to stand and lift your hands and lift your voice, and you read the words on the screen, but it's more than just reading words. As you're singing, it is something in your soul that is expressing those words of worship unto God. It goes from something on a screen to something from inside us it's being made manifested in our worship unto God. It transforms from a screen or a song. It transforms from something they practiced to something that is real. Something that is right now happening between the individual and God. Don't take for granted, oh yeah, they're going to sing three songs and have a prayer request, and the kids are going to come and the preacher will preach. I tell you, it's a lot more than that. It's a lot more than that. There's something powerful that is happening in all of that. Amen. It's not to be taken for granted. Amen. Get this now. The more we worship Him, the more I open myself to receive of Him. Amen. It comes down to the individual. It comes down to the single person. It comes down to each one of us. Now, I don't really understand it. I guess it is possible. You could come into the household of God and people all around you be worshiping, and the presence of God could be moving, and the Holy Ghost is evident. God is being worshiped and people are being touched from God. And it's possible you could sit there. Oh. It's possible that you would not engage in the worship, that you could just observe. Now, that goes beyond my experience. I don't ever want to get to the place where I understand that. Because I can't just sit in a worship service and not worship God. If I'm in the house of God, if I've come to the house of bread, if I'm to the very place in Bethlehem where the well is, I want to drink. I want some. I want God to touch my life. The more we worship, the more we open ourselves to the presence of God. The more that we will feel God in our own life. If you want to feel God, worship the Lord. Worship God in the house of God, in the place that God has brought us together into. Don't just sit there without worshiping. Be a part of the worship of the Lord, and God will touch your life. You will feel the presence of the Lord. Psalm 22 and verse number 3. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. This is a great verse to me. I know God is holy. I know God is great. I know all those things. But it's more than just being in your head. It's more than just knowing it in your heart. It is something that is to be expressed individually, personally, before you and God. When I get myself to get out of the flesh, I stop thinking about the things that are going on in my life, the troubles with my car, or the troubles with my kids, or the troubles at the work, or the things that are come upon me. When I stop thinking about all that stuff, and I start thinking about worshiping God, when I start giving myself unto Him, when I put God first, when I put Him in His rightful place at the top of the peak of the pinnacle, the most important thing in all of my life, God is the Most High. When I put God in that place and I recognize Him as so, then I am lifted up by God. It lifts my spirit. I feel better after coming to church than when before. Sometimes I'm tired. Sometimes I just don't feel like it. Sometimes I just want to sit down. But you know what? When I get myself up and make my way to the house of bread, when I get myself to the place of the well, when I hear the preaching of the Word of God, I'll tell you what, I always feel better when I leave. Amen. God always does something powerful in my spirit. Thou inhabitest the praises of Israel. It teaches us that God literally inhabits the praises of His people. That's what it's showing. That's what it's telling us. That means that God dwells in where praise is. I want to be in a place where people are praising God. Amen. I want to be in the house of bread. I want to be where the preaching is going on. I want to feel the presence of the Lord. I want to worship myself unto the Lord. Strength comes to us when we praise God. It strengthens our spiritual man. It's like if you're working out in the flesh, you can make your muscles strong. And if you don't work out, guess what? Your muscles are going to grow weak. If you just sit on the couch night after night, day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year, if that's your style, well then guess what? You're going to grow weak. Your flesh is going to deteriorate. You're going to go physically downhill. You think it's any different in the spirit? Man, you got to exercise your spiritual mindset. We have to worship the Lord ourselves. We have to hear the preaching of the Word. We got to be challenged by the things of God. We got to put ourselves in the place of the house of bread. Make your way to the house of God. God dwells in that place. I can feel the presence of the Lord when I'm in a place where people are worshiping God. I can feel the presence of God when I worship Him. and my spiritual strength comes from God. Amen. Psalm 28, verse number 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise Him. I tell you, our singing is more than music. It's not entertainment. It's not a show. It's not how talented we are. It's not how professional we become. It's that we worship the Lord. If our musicians, if our singers, if our talented people become so professional that you don't worship God, then I would just assume that they would resign. We'll get a new convert up there to sing off tune, but if they'll worship God, I'm telling you, the presence of God will move. God will make the difference. It's not in how professional you are. It's not in how you carry the tune. It's how you worship the Lord. Amen. It's dependent on the presence of God that's being invoked by the praise that is going up. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, don't get me wrong. It's not an insult. I think we have among the best music and praise team of any place I've ever been in. I've been in great conferences and big churches, and there's none that I know of that has greater worship services than we have. Amen. But it's not because of the notes and the tunes and the words. It's because of the worship. God inhabits the praises of Israel. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did I read Psalm 28:7? I think I did. Maybe someone perhaps would be thinking, preacher, pastor, Brother Greeley, you don't know how I feel. There's people that have life happening to them right now. There's problems in people right here sitting on these pews. There's problems in your life that are beyond your capability to change. You cannot fix it. You don't know what's going on. You don't know what I'm going through. Well, I'd have to say, you're right. I don't know. But I do know that God knows. God is your answer. When you have a real problem in your life, when you have a problem in your flesh, when you have a problem in your spirit, when you have a problem in your marriage, when you have a problem on your in your work, when you have a problem in life, I know that God is your answer. You will be better off serving God than in the world. Amen. Would you bring me a box of tissues, please? Jeremiah chapter 33. Thank you very much. Jeremiah 33, verse 11, is where I'd like to read from. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, that's Jesus. And the voice of the bride, that's the church. And the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts. For the Lord is good. For His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice, get this now, the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. There's people that have brought with them today a problem that you cannot solve. You knew you had a problem when you came in. You knew there was something going on in your life that is going on beyond your own control. Now, in the midst of that problem, will you worship the Lord? Will you still choose to lift up your voice and lift your hands and let there be something within you that goes and moves unto God? Can you choose? It is possible that there are some people will let a problem, I can't go to church today, I feel bad because of so-and-so. Feelings, problems, things. When you make it to the household of bread, when you make it to the house of the Lord, when you make it to church and you know you got a problem and you still worship God, that is a sacrifice of praise. It's well-pleasing and acceptable unto God when you give a sacrifice of praise unto the Lord. Bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. I'm telling you, God will change things when you give it over to the Lord, when you worship Him, when you put Him first, when you choose to live for God, even when you're having a problem, even when life is tough, even when things aren't going your way, even when you don't know the answer, even when you can't control the problem. And you choose to magnify and worship the Lord and live for God, God will see you through. God said, no matter what you think you have lost, if you will praise God, I'm talking now about a sacrifice of praise. Worship God anyway. He has promised to restore to you all, someone say all, all that you've lost. Amen. God can restore what the world has taken. God can restore what your flesh has given up. The doctor may say there's no hope, but I tell you there is hope. In Jesus Christ, there is hope in God. Never give up. Never give in. Keep living for God. Keep magnifying the Lord. Worship God in a sacrifice of praise. And God will see you through. Amen. Amen. If you will praise God, He will see you through. Sitting I have to keep my tissues separated. This one goes up here, and the other one goes down there. Oh my. Sitting through a worship service. Sitting and just observing. Sitting and not participating. Not joining in to the worship of the Lord. Not singing those songs of Zion with all your heart and with joy and worship unto God. Being present and not being part is like starving to death in a fully stocked kitchen. There's food in the pantry. The refrigerator is full. The stove and the pans and the glasses and the cups and the spoons are all in the same room. The oven works great. And you're starving to death. Oh, I'm not. I don't want to go open the refrigerator. Oh, I don't want to go in the pantry. Oh, I don't feel like getting any food. I don't feel like cooking. What's wrong with your thinking? You could be starving to death spiritually if you're not worshiping God. If you're not partaking yourself. If you're not giving of yourself to the Lord. If I could give you to God, you would already belong to Him. But you have yourself to be accountable to. You have to choose to worship God. Nobody can make you. Nobody can do it for you. Don't starve to death in a fully stocked kitchen. Philippians chapter 4. I got just two more places I want to go to. Well, excuse me, three. Three more. I can do it. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Sometimes life brings us to a place where we're not happy. You might be sick in your body. You might have something happening in your life. There may have been some calamity. There may be a death in your family. There may be trouble in your home. There, you name it. The world has lots of stuff that comes upon us. Life happens to each of us. Rejoice in the Lord always. Someone say always. Man, that's a huge word right there. And again, I say rejoice. The word always comes from a Greek word, chairo, chiro. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. But it means to be cheerful, calm, happy. I want to put a smile on my face. I want to, I don't want to be anxious. I don't want to be fearful. I want to be cheerful and calm and happy. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. Be careful in the Lord always. Be calm in the Lord always. But you don't know what the doctor said. Be calm in the Lord always. Be happy in the Lord always. I tell you, we can choose to serve the Lord even when life happens to us. Even when life is going on all around us. Even when we don't have control of the stuff out there, we can control what's in here, and I can give to God a worship, and I can rejoice in the Lord and praise His name. Habakkuk 3, verse 17 and 18. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, it's a tough situation here. Neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the laborer of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. It's bad and getting worse. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. It's tough. Life is happening. Verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. I tell you, even when life is tough, even when things are going on beyond my control, I can choose to serve the Lord. I can choose to lift up my voice in praise. Life is not going to stop me from worshiping the Lord, from living for God. Verses 17 and 18, Habakkuk is declaring that the love for God is not based on what he expects to give. It's not based on good things happening. I'm going to worship God even when life happens. I need to worship God even when I'm down. God can lift me up. God can change my situation. God will bless me when I worship the Lord. God inhabits the praises of Israel, of His people. You want to get God's moving and presence and blessing on your life? Choose to worship the Lord. He is the God of my salvation. He is my Savior, my Lord, my King. He's the all in all, the high and holy one. He is the Lord of lords. He is the Almighty God. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be worshiped. Praise the Lord. This next portion, and I'm ending with this. Job had a really, maybe you know about Job's trials, maybe you don't. But I don't think any of us in here have went through stuff like Job went through. It would have to be one of the strongest manifestations of faith that I find in Scripture. If you can worship God when life and catastrophe and hopelessness and brokenness and loss happens in your life, and you still choose to serve the Lord. Let's go there. Job chapter 1, beginning at verse number 2. He was in the middle of dreadful circumstances. And there was born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 3, his substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household. He was blessed. So that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. That's saying a lot. But having a lot isn't always what we need. Job chapter 1, jumping down, still in chapter 1, picking up at verse 14. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. One man escaped to give the report. The next verse, 16. While he was yet speaking, the next guy came in while the first guy was telling him. Another guy standing right behind him and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Oh my word. Fire consumed them. And one man escaped to give the report. Verse 17. While he was yet speaking, he was given the report of catastrophe, and someone came in right behind him to give another report. By that time, I'm thinking, quit with the reports. Yeah, close the doors. Don't let anybody else in. Verse 17, while he was yet speaking, third guy comes in. There came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. One man escaped to give the report. You know how the next verse goes? While he was yet speaking, a fourth guy is standing behind him. While he's still talking, the next guy comes in. While I was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. It's getting really personal now. You're talking to my kids? You're talking to my sons, my daughters, my family? Verse 19, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Verse 20 to 22. Then Job arose. Stand with me, would you? Musicians, would you come? I'm closing right here. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground. Sometimes life has consumed us. There's no more that we can contain. We can't keep it in anymore. There's just so much. I'm just overwhelmed. There's nothing more that I can do. Life has overtaken me. I would say at that point, Job is overtaken by life, by the things that have happened around him. Verse 21, and said, Job is speaking now, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is still good. If your whole world is falling in, caving in, collapsed in, if your everything you know has gone chaotic, if all that you have control of has gone out of control, if everything that you know is in the dumps, God is still good. I know life is happening right now to people in our congregation. I know people have problems in their body. I know people have problems in their family. I know that people have problems here and also there at the same time. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Job still chose to live for God. Verse 22, in all of this, in all those circumstances, in all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. I tell you, whatever it is that's in your problem that's in your life, the world that's coming in upon you, if the pressures that are set upon you. I don't know exactly what everybody's going through, but I know everybody's going through something. Would you lift your hands and choose to live for God anyway? Would you lift your hands and choose to serve the Lord? I'm telling you. See, Job's, if you read in the back of the book, Job was restored. He was given more children and more things, and God blessed his life. His end was greater than when the catastrophe came. I tell you, God can restore to you what the world has taken away. What circumstances have bent down, God can raise up. Would you choose to serve the Lord right now, today, in this service, in the last closing moments of this church? Would you come down to this altar and lift your hands and magnify God and choose to serve the Lord? Come on down. Lift your hands. Worship the Lord. Magnify God.